Good morning. Hey, I was wondering, I really like that Beast in the Basement. What number is that in the hymnal? Does anybody know? I was like, oh, I can't find that in the hymnal for some reason. There you go. Anyway, let me pray. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the clicker. Thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate our new lives in you. Thank you for the book of John that talks about love. And Lord, thank you that you loved us, even when we had our backs to you, and we didn't even have you in our mind, and you were loving us, Lord. So we thank you for that. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I get to teach on the book of John. John's just so great. You know, I'm going to put Andy on the spot here. Does anybody remember anything from last week with Andy? Hey, that's his question he asks every week, so they got it.
Give him his.
Oh, we're in the book of John, right?
How, you're on the floor, you good.
Andy, do you remember? Does anybody remember what happened in this chapter? Let me give you oh, thank you, Thea. You know what? I forgot. You know, tomorrow's a holiday, right? I'm going to get back to you in a minute. Tomorrow's a holiday, and it's Memorial Day. And it's really, this used to be a really huge thing in this country, and it's really lost its, we've lost our kind of reverence for this day. This is for people that gave us the rights to come here and worship without major persecution, or for the people that fought for us on other lands. And so we want to have a moment of silence for the fallen ones and a small prayer for them. Dear Lord, we thank you for this nation that you've given us, that you've blessed us with. We pray, Lord, that tomorrow as we celebrate Memorial Day, we remember what that's really about. It's not about barbecues and picnics and things like that, Lord. It's about commemorating the sacrifice of men and women through the history of this nation. And we pray for them. We pray for their families and their loved ones, and we pray, Lord, for the ones that are there right now that are in harm's way. We pray that you would protect them. Bless this nation, Lord. Turn it back to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Thea. We can go through these other slides. These are really heartbreaking to watch. Tough to watch. Thank you. Anyway. all right. So does anybody remember? I think
Bev.
Thank you.
Jesus washed the disciples' feet.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So Andy said that the word love, agape, is 32 times in the book of John, right? So I think this chapter that we're in right now kind of shows you what love looks like and what it doesn't look like. And unfortunately, I have to show you what love doesn't look like. But there's a little part of where love does look like from Jesus. But this chapter kind of really makes you think. It's a really heavy chapter. I spent all day yesterday with the Lord, just me and the Lord in my house. And he showed me a lot of things, and it really made me examine my heart, because this does. This really makes you examine your heart, because We have to check in with ourselves. We have to examine ourselves to see where we stand, where we are, right? What are our motives for things? Why are we doing things? Is it because it looks good to people, which I struggle with? And or am I doing it because that's what the Lord's calling me to do? So that's what we're going to do. Let's get right into the text here. We're in John 13, 18 through 30 today. And I'm going to read the text and then we'll go back through it. How can I read that? Okay, verse 18. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. That's missing a word there. Huh? So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Lord, Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What are you going to do? Do it quickly." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. And so we're going to go back through this. There's a lot going on here. And, you know, Jesus was the picture of love, right? Jesus is the picture. He sacrificed himself for us. I don't know about you, but it's really hard sometimes to lay down my rights and lay down my, to love people, to not want to retaliate. And most people know here who have mixed it up with me know that I like to retaliate. And I try to, it's a lot better than it used to be, but it's still something I struggle with. Because real love is, it doesn't matter how the other person treats you, it's how you treat them, right? And that's what Jesus did, because we weren't treating him very well when he took us in, right? So let's go back through this. Because Jesus washed the disciples' feet to teach them something, right? So the first of all, let me give you the title. Are you all in? Are you all in, right? That's a question we all need to ask, because there's times where I have doubts in my mind. Am I really all in? Am I just here? Am I just showing people that I'm a Christian? Am I really living as a Christian, or am I just showing, or am I just acting like a Christian? And we all need to answer that question. We all need to examine ourselves, because we could, you know, Jesus could come back again, and we could be really surprised and go, why am I not coming with you, Jesus? He goes, "You never really knew me." And so this is a real sobering part of scripture here. So are you all in? John 13:18-30. So let's start with the first point I want to make, is that it says here, "I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen." Does anybody have any idea what he means by that? And now if it says here, "I am not speaking of all of you," he's talking about something that was said or done before, right? So does anybody remember what that is? Why is he saying that? "I am not speaking of all of you." Anybody? I'll give you time. You can look in your Bible if you want.
It's open.
You can ask Andy. Yes, Rick.
He's talking about Judas.
Right. He is. But specifically, he's saying, yeah, right, exactly. That's what he's talking about. But you kind of have to go back to what Andy taught last week. And apparently, Andy, hardly anyone remembers. I don't know why, but just kidding. I didn't either. So trust me. I had to. Were you have your hand up back there?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. What's your name?
Mike. He's not talking about all of this. He's talking about, he's trying to get to
exactly.
You're, yeah, he's not like saying, "I'm condemning all of these."
That's right.
It's kind of like when people say, "I'm just saying," you know?
Yeah. No,
it's, but I'm saying.
Yeah, he's saying that one of you are going to betray me. And everyone's all, whoa, you know. So I'm going to go back to the scripture of last week. It says here in verse 10, it says, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." And the verse end of 11 said, "Not all of you are clean." So he's saying, hey, one of you is not clean here. And what he means by that is, he means that he never really surrendered his life to Jesus. He never really invited Jesus into his heart. And that's what we have to, you know, because it's really easy to come into church and be pressured by everyone to say all the right things and do all the right things and to actually admit to people that, you know, I really don't have a relationship with Jesus. The pressure is enormous to not say that. But at this point, it's kind of like we have to, I mean, otherwise, we're just playing church. So we have to make sure we are all in. Because Jesus doesn't do, you know, I put in half my pot. No, we have to put everything in. It has to all be in to be his disciple. Doesn't mean we're not going to mess up, but it means just our lifestyle is constantly, continually being formed, conform to him, to his, the way Jesus was. Yes, sir, Mike.
So you think Judas was became a disciple because of peer pressure?
I wouldn't say that. I would say that I think that because it's very attracting. Jesus is very attracting. What he has, the fellowship of the guys and the stature of Jesus, and that's very appealing to him, right? So it's not. I don't think it was a, you know, I think his desire was great. Yes.
But, well, Judas was really looking for revolution. He was the one who wanted the king to come and vanquish the Romans. And
right.
I think he saw Jesus as going to be that king, and perhaps was disappointed that Jesus wasn't the king he was looking for.
This is true, but also and I should say not but, I hate that word. However, they were in bondage. They felt they were in bondage, the Jews. That's why they wanted somebody to come in and conquer the Romans so they would be out of bondage again. Yes, Rick.
Judas already showed himself to be corrupt by stealing from the money bag.
Yes, yes. And so part of it is that, you know, the desire to be out of bondage is a good desire, but how you do that, and is it a physical bondage or is it a spiritual bondage? And Judas was about a physical bondage, and Jesus is about a spiritual bondage. He wants to free us from spiritual bondage. Doesn't matter where you are. If you're in Christ, you can still be free. You can be in prison and still be free if you're in Christ, right? So then it says, "For I've given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. I wash your feet, so you should wash each other's feet." Doesn't literally mean that. Actually, Ed was talking about us doing a foot washing in here. So make sure you wear clean socks every time, because you never know. And you might walk in and do a foot washing. But it's really to serve one another, to serve each other. Yes, Mike.
Sorry, I don't want to get off on a tangent.
It's okay.
So was Judas an actual disciple?
He was in the world's eyes, but really, it depends on what a disciple is, you know. So he was a follower, but he wasn't really totally surrendered to Christ. So, yeah, no. I mean, because if you were, he couldn't have pulled off what he did. Or he, you know, so part of it is, and that's what this whole thing's about. Later, after these verses, we're going to talk about Peter, and then Jesus is going to tell us what real love is a little more. Yes.
Bruce, I think the question was he one of the 12?
Yes, he was one of the 12. Yes. Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, Rick.
So Jesus, of course, knows the hearts, and even though Judas had not yielded his heart to Jesus, Jesus did not give up on him.
No, he did not.
Until the very end.
Yeah.
He did not give up on him.
Well, remember last time he said that Jesus loved them to the end. He loves us to the end, right? Even though we blow it and we do things, he still loves us all the way to the end. And then it says here, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about, let's go back. I'm not speaking to all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the thing is, these people don't really know who he's talking about. The disciples don't know who he's talking about. Yes?
Couldn't Judas be referred to as a double agent?
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually think that we can be too. Yes, Pam?
I think Judas was a lot like a lot of people. He followed Jesus, like, physically. He did all, he jumped through all the hoops. He did all the stuff. But he wasn't submitted in his heart.
Right, and so
to what God wanted to do through Jesus, he wanted God to do what he wanted to do through Jesus.
Exactly, and that's what Pam was just saying, that Judas was all about the physical, about physically getting what he wants and not letting God do what he wants. Am I saying that right, Pam? You said it much more eloquent than I did. So, actually, you want to switch places? No, okay, darn. So I'm not speaking to all of you. I know whom I have chosen. Right. So Jesus goes on to say, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my, and that's kind of a weird rendering there, but so the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. Now this is not just like some, you know, this isn't some, like I accidentally hurt somebody. This is what Judas does here is a deliberate, treacherous act, right? I don't know if you've ever been betrayed. I remember I had a girlfriend for about 7 years, and I found out all these phone numbers on my phone thing that wasn't mine, and that she was seeing someone else on the side. That's painful. That's really painful when somebody betrays you. When I was in junior high, I had a friend that we were friends for a long time. Actually, it was high school. And some guy came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, your friend Jim over there, he's saying all sorts of nasty things about you to everybody, you know? And except when we see each other, he'd say, hey, I'd be really nice." That hurt. That's betrayal. This is the kind that, you know, that comes with a smile as they're stabbing you in the back, right? That's what this is, man. This isn't, like I said, just a mistake. This is treacherous. This is deliberate. This is first degree. Yes. Yes, Alan.
Oh, yeah.
Say loud, will you?
When Adam rejected God for Eve, he turned back on God for Eve. Judas is, this is much more serious, but Adam wasn't able to physically reject the Lord, but Judas was. He not only rejected God, but he also went against him by bringing people to kill him.
Right, yes. And so, and at the same time, he was smiling at him and being his friend, pretending to be his friend. Yes, Joe?
Why did Judas have so much hatred for Jesus? Was he just a conniving
person? I think Pam hit, you know.
I didn't hear it.
Well, he said, why do you think Judas was what, so conniving?
Why did he have such hatred?
Why did he have such hatred towards Jesus?
Conniving?
No, I think it was because he wasn't doing what his agenda. He wanted Jesus to do his, to do Judas' agenda, right? And so he wasn't getting it the way he wanted it, so he forced Jesus' hand on this. Yes, Beth?
And the other thing that was really shocking, too, is he did betray him, but then he also took money.
Right.
So he did it for, you know.
Yeah, no, but haven't you done some things that go, wow, why the hell did I do that? Why the heck did I, excuse my language, why the heck did I do that? Why did I say that to them? Why did I act out like that? Yeah, it happens to me all the time. Ask Nathan and them. Seriously, ask Andy, he knows. You could tell, like, somebody that's really been walking with the Lord for a while and somebody that hasn't as long. Because Andy has a lot more patience than me, but he's patient with me. And so, but as the more I see, the more I become like Jesus, the more slowly but surely. But that doesn't, if you don't have Jesus, that doesn't happen, right? So that's how you tell. I mean, that's how you tell in your heart. You can't tell by looking at someone else because you don't know what their thought is, but we know what's in our heart. Julie.
Sometimes you don't know that your motives with following Jesus are mixed. Still, until God doesn't do for you what you think God should be doing for you. Mm. And then you find out, oh, I had this expectation and now it's not being met. I can keep walking with God or I can turn my back and say, forget you. You're no good to me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's many times where why would God do this? Why would he allow this? And not until many years later, I realized, wow, now I get to see what God was doing. So we don't always see what's going on. We have to trust that he knows what he's doing, right? So this was prophesied in about 1,000 years earlier in Psalm 41:9. It said, even my close friend whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Somebody he's been spending, 3.5 years together with. And the disciples, too. And
what's that mean, lifted his heel?
I mean, it's kick him in the face, kind of.
That's, kicked
his heel. Yeah, it's just kick. Yeah, whatever. I mean, it's boom, like kicking someone in the face. It's just a violent act, basically. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Well, you know, that was, 3,000 years ago or something like that, right? So let me move on. I'm telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe I am he. Now, if you look at this thing where it says I am he, it's really the same word, because there's no really he there. It's I am, right? It's the phrase I am. Remember when they're asking him, are you the Messiah? The Pharisees are asking him later, are you the Messiah? And he says, I am, right? It's the same phrase right there that he uses. So he's basically saying that you may believe that I am God, that I am God's son, that I am who I say I am. So this isn't the only one, right? This is just another block of evidence for Jesus, right? It's not the only block, but it's another block of that Jesus is building as far as who that saying who he is. Is I'm not just take me for my word, but what about my deeds and the things I did, things I said? Oh, this is just another thing that they don't realize right now. This is one of those instances where, wow, I don't understand what's going on, but later. Because he wrote this later, right? He understood what this meant, right? It meant that that's why Jesus was doing this, so that they may believe him. Because now they're going, oh my God, exactly what he said happened, right? And it says, you know, and this has been referred to a couple times since we've been in this book, the purpose of the book, right? In John 20, 30, and 31, at the end of it, it says that But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So that's the whole purpose behind this, is to know that Jesus is who he said he is. He is the chosen one that God sent to save us. And Judas missed that. He missed that. I'm so glad I didn't miss it. At least as far as I can tell, I am like not by any means perfect Christian follower of Jesus, but I believe I am. And but I think it's up to us to examine ourselves and make sure, where are we? Are we really? Are we really in Christ? Are we fooling ourselves and others? Or are we really in Christ? And it says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Anybody want to unpack that or take a stab at what he means in the context here? Yes, Mike.
Yeah, what the text means to me is, did you say whoever received, can you hear me?
Yeah, good. Talk a little louder.
I talk very loud. So.
That's okay. Loud as you want, brother.
But when they said, he who receives me is saying, he who receives the Son of God as the Son of Man. God also.
That's right. But it also says, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me. So he's talking about the apostles. The apostles are going to go out. Or when I go to somebody and they want to accept Jesus, they're receiving me. When they receive me, they're receiving Jesus. And in turn, they're receiving God. Right? And so he's saying this here because Judas never received him. Judas never received Jesus. Otherwise, he wouldn't have carried this out. And so he's telling him, he's not only saying this to the apostle, but he's saying it to the one that betrayed him, that you're missed out. And at this point, he could have just said, hey, Peter, take this guy out back and do whatever you want to, right? Lop off his ear or whatever. But that's not his character, right? He's like, he knows this guy's betraying him, but yet he's still giving him an opportunity to repent. Yes, Marianne.
So on the one I send, so that could mean the disciples, but is it also foreshadowing sending the Holy Spirit?
I would say yes, and I would say yes, but usually it's through somebody, right? It's the Holy Spirit through somebody. So both, I would say yes. Yeah, I wouldn't go on that one at all. I try not to do that anyway. So he's saying, look, you missed the boat, but you can still receive me. He's really, you know, putting his hand out right here. And it says here in Matthew 7, 21, 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter my kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And I think this really fits here because Judas did a lot of these things. He cast demons out. He went out with the other disciples and did that. He did miracles of God. God worked miracles through his life. And this is what happened. So it doesn't even matter. Even if you, because it's really an individual thing. If in your heart you're in Christ, and he if you're not, he can still use you. He'll still use you to further his agenda, purpose. Thank you. I don't like that word agenda. It has a bad connotation to it. So it's saying that it doesn't matter. You could do all these things. You could be recovery director, okay? And then find out later that you're really not in. And this really makes you go, man, Lord, am I? You know, is there a places in my life that I'm falling short, that I'm just acting like I know you and I'm not really living it out in my life? And so this is a really sobering part here because we have to check with it. Because it's easy to just go, oh, yeah, sure I am. Well, check it. Yeah, check it. Check yourself really seriously.
Can I tell you something?
Again.
This is why your mission field is sometimes right next to you, even though this person's sitting in church, they may not be saved.
That's right. That's
so
right.
You don't have to go to Africa. No.
No, you don't. You don't. Your mission field's right next to you. You're absolutely right. So the question is, are you all in? I mean, really, it's okay if you're not. Okay, I mean it's not a good thing. What I'm saying is that admit it, right? It's like admitted we were powerless. Their lives have become unmanageable in the first step. So we have to admit it. First admitting it, you know, it's examining it and go, you know what, really, I've just been pretending here. I haven't really, and I question myself this sometimes because when I act out and I go, oh my goodness, am I really in Christ? And I know I am, I really do, but I still, You know, and I would say that whenever we deliberately sin or when we knowingly sin, it's a betrayal to God. I would say it's a betrayal because I'm saying, I'm all in for you, Lord, but then I'm going to go off and do this. So I'm betraying him by doing that, right? That's, yeah, that's true.
My dilemma with the verse you just showed is the closer I get to God, the more I am aware that I don't always do the will of God. So if my eternal destiny is based on my ability to do the will of God, I am never going to be in. So my question today is, if I want to be in, all in, how do I know if I am all in? I mean, I'm talking about eternal security. How do we know, as Christians, that we believe in God enough to go to heaven?
Well, I would say that the gauge for that is how we love, right? Is do I wash my brother's feet, my sister's feet? Am I doing that? Am I putting other people's needs ahead of mine more than I used to? I'm not saying all the time, but more than I used to. I don't chase people down anymore when they cut me off on the freeway. I used to do that stuff, right? And then I'd get out and I go, what am I going to do? I never did anything, but it's like, what am I going to do? Anyway, yes.
The question, if we're all in or not, shows our intent. Because people that think that they're all in and really aren't don't have any questions. They know, oh, I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. I'm not a Christian.
You're right.
But the fact that we question ourselves, I think, shows our intent that we want to be. But we don't know that we are.
It's a healthy thing. Yeah. It's I mean, because, like I said, I spent all day yesterday preparing, and God was, and I was, you know, God was examining me. I was examining myself. It was great. I think it was the best teaching prep I've ever done because I was by myself. There was no outside noise. Never turned the TV on once. That's amazing. seriously. Anyway, yes, Pam.
I think somewhat it's dangerous to think like, am I in enough? Am I doing enough, or do I believe enough to have salvation? I actually think that, like, Jesus just requires a simple faith, and somebody, I can't remember who said, a long obedience in the same direction. Like, you are constantly like, okay, I'm just going to do what you say. Like, okay. You know, like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, you know, like, full of this anxiety, do I believe enough? It's just this day-to-day.
Well, you could pray for that. You could pray for that. You know, pray for my unbelief, right? Pray for that. Pray that, hey, am I, Lord, show me that I'm all in. And the gauge, like I said, is how you love. If you're loving, that's a gauge. It's progress, not perfection, as it says in recovery. First Rick, and then you. Right.
Okay, so there's two things. There's the, you know, are you saved? You know, do you have a relationship with Jesus? And that is, as Pam said, it's a simple faith that you... If you made a profession of faith, either a conscious profession or, you know, something, for me it was a very distinct act where I consciously made a choice. Other people, it just kind of happens over time. But at some point, you kind of know that you are Jesus. That's salvation. And then once that happens, then the next thing is this process of lifetime sanctification. By degree of the glory, we are transformed into the image of Christ. That's a walk of faith that happens over the course of a lifetime.
Sure.
And that's the are you all in question.
Right, and I'm not saying that, are you loving well? You need to take all your strength and do it. It's really seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So you don't have to try to do it. Seek God, seek his righteousness, and all these things will happen. These things will just start to naturally come out of that, right? And so that's what I do. It's like when I'm going, am I doing this or am I doing it? Lord, and I look at the Lord, and he sets me straight. Yeah, Dyke.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, hope I'm on the right page. It's kind of like recovery. When I was in HBRP, recovery was a piece of cake because I'm being held accountable. But when I left HBRP, that's when the rubber hit the road. But as for your Christian walk, it's okay inside these rooms. Everybody, yeah, okay, you're doing the right thing. But I'm going to tell what Mary Ann said. Are you all in? Is when you do something on the outs, and the Holy Spirit questions you. That's when. That's when I think I know I got something in my heart. Because the Holy Spirit's, that wasn't right, guys. So then you got to go back. So that's a good way of gauge. As you're saying, gauging it. As Mary Ann said, the Holy Spirit kind of keeps you in check.
Right. And are there still some chips in front of you on the table as you're going? I'm all in, but I'm holding these chips back. They're in my pocket, so no one can see them. I'm all in. but I'm pretending I'm all in, or I'm saying, faking I am. Yeah.
Andre. Well, I thank God, you know, I mean, you kind of made life complicated. Because, I mean, I could take a verse of that Bible and read it, then another person can, and then we both interpret totally different scenarios. You know what I'm saying? So that person that's reading something opposite of what I'm saying, he's saying, he's proclaiming, oh, I'm right, and you're not. You know what I'm saying? So,
but it really doesn't matter about the other person.
No, it's all actually about love, what Pastor Andy always insinuates. It's all about love.
Right. And, agape. Yeah, and it's not about what you think I am or I think you are. It's about me. It's about me and God and my relationship with him. Everyone else needs to just fade out, right? It's just me and him. Where am I with you, Lord?
We're living in a world where we have to interact with each other.
No, I know that, but the interaction between God is a spiritual thing. So it's a personal interaction with God. We do it together, but it's a personal decision. It's Judas decided if he was going to betray God or not. He's, in other words, instead of submitting his will to God, he did his own will. And that's what happened. That's where he fell short. So if someone does, so it's not about somebody saying, I don't think you're really a Christian. It doesn't,
I think
none of their business.
Most of us, myself personally, I think most of us betray each other all the time.
Yes.
All the time.
I agree.
That's my first opinion. Yeah.
But I do it less than I used to.
So and then nobody would actually go to heaven then.
No, but it's not based on, it's based on our relationship with Jesus. That's why we don't go to hell. Everything I do for the rest of my life is perfectly good, I'm still fell short. I still deserve death. And Jesus is my propitiation, right? Like it said in the thing. Yes, Jackie.
Can we go back to the screen that shows the scripture that you're referring to? That says if you choose me.
Oh, wrong way. Truly, truly, I say to you.
He receives the one I send, which means we receive Jesus, receives me, then receives the Father. He receives me, receives the one who sent me, receives the Father. Again, we receive God. For me, what people are talking about is works, but we're not saved by works. We're saved by faith. And so simply by making the choice that I choose to follow Jesus, I'm never going to measure up enough.
No.
To be enough. To worry about how well I live enough, but to be secure in the fact that I have chosen to follow Jesus, and so I'm going to be saved. And yeah, I'm going to fail a lot.
Yes, I agree. I agree that we're going to fail a lot. But part of it is, it's just saying, have I given my whole heart to Jesus? Have I given my whole heart to Jesus? And what comes out of it, the works come out of it, are based on my relationship with God. It's not, I do the work so then I'm better with God, that I'm more in with God. I got to move on. I have like a lot. Man, you guys, most of the time I hardly get any interaction. I get lots of it today. I need to move on because we're getting a little on time here. I'm sorry, man. This is great. This is great interaction. So got to go back to where we are. So are you all in? Are all your chips in? Or have you surrendered everything to Jesus? I'm not saying, are you perfect? It's, are you all in? Do you want God to change you? Do you want God to change you? That's all that matters. And it doesn't matter what your brother thinks about you. It only matters about what God and what you know in your heart. Because we know when you lay your head on the pillow, what you've done all day, you know what the things that you shouldn't have done that are wrong, and or things you shouldn't have done, and know exactly where you are in your heart when you lay down, when you're by yourself, right? And then so he goes on to say, it says, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. I mean, that hurts. The betrayal like that hurts. He loves Judas. So it's not only just that it hurts personally because he was my friend, but that he knows he's going to destruction. He knows that he's lost and he's not going to be able to come back out of this. And that hurts him. Like, just like us, if we have loved ones that we know in our family, we've been trying to get to know the Lord, they're not. It's frustrating. We're sad and we keep trying, but it hurts when you can't, when you have this wonderful thing you found and people reject it. Right? It really hurts. And then he goes on to say, the disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. And then they go down here later and it says, Lord, who is it? So the weird thing is that they all didn't go, yeah, it's Judas, right? It's Judas. They didn't do that. They didn't know. They're all looking around. And then if you look at the Matthew account, it says here, they said they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one another, is it I, Lord? Right? These are the disciples, and they're questioning themselves, is it I? And isn't it funny that the disciples by this time know that Jesus knows them better than they know themselves? God knows us better than we know ourselves. We think we know ourselves, and we think we know what we need, but Jesus knows exactly what we need, right? So, is it I, Lord? And like I said, I think that's a healthy thing. I think it's like, you know, am I, is there, it makes you just kind of go, whoa, am I, you know, because there's some things that we let slip into our lives that we just accept, and we keep doing them, and then either some pain or something will jar us out of that and go, oh my goodness, look what I'm doing here, right? So I think this is a healthy thing for them to say, is it I? And even and even Judas, right? Because I don't know about you guys, we're in recovery, so we can talk and relate. And, you know, when we did things and someone said, and we knew we did it, we denied it to the end, right? No, I didn't. No, that wasn't a dirty test. No, I didn't do drugs. Nope, that was, right? That's what we do. That's what, and so he's all, Judas is like, is it I, Rabbi? To be like the rest of the guys, right? That's the deceit, kind of like, you know, it's like, somebody stole our money. Let me go help you look for it, right? After you're the one that stole it, right? I did that before. And I'm not doing it because it's funny. It's sad. It's sick. I did that before in my own business. Anyway. And then he says to him, you have said so. So let me go back here. Because it says here, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved was reclining at the table at Jesus' side. So here's the picture. We got Jesus. They're not sitting at a regular table. They're like laying down. That's how they did it back in those days. They're laying down. John is right here, the one that he loved. He's right there on his right. And most commentators think that Judas is right there on his left. Because he's able to say this to Judas without anyone hearing. And then John is able to ask him without the rest of the disciples hearing. Because you know, if Peter heard that Judas was betraying him, he would have took him out to the woodshed, right? We know that about Peter. He would have lopped his ear off or something, right? So, I mean, because you say, well, why? Because Peter motioned him like, you know, because Jesus is going, someone's going to betray me. And Peter's like, right? That's what he's doing. He's like, who is it, right? And John, so John's the only one that knows at this point. Now, you remember, this is the Last Supper dinner. This is the same time as the Last Supper happens, right? For some reason, John doesn't talk about it. He doesn't do the communion here for some reason, but this is the same setting right here before, just before we 12 or 24 hours before Jesus, where it's all done, where he's crucified and resurrected, right? So that's just coming up, right? So anyway, so that's the picture that John's like, who is it, right? And then Judas is it I, Rabbi? He's like, you say so, you know? And then he says, he says to John, after John asked him, he said, it is he to whom I give this morsel of bread and when I have dipped it. So he dips it and then hands it over to Judas. And that's the signal to John that he's the betrayer. And this is really creepy. So when he had dipped the morsel and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, he said, then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Right, so Jesus is here. He's allowing this to happen. Jesus could have said, away Satan if he wanted to, but this is fulfilling his purpose. And so he's telling, what you have to do, go do it. Get it over with, right? Now, some commentators think then after this is when he broke the bread and did communion. That's what some commentators say, but other commentators are different. We don't know for sure. There's no way to prove it either way. Doesn't matter. He's not among them. He said, I'm not speaking of all of you. Judas is not part of this. He's exiled from this. He's no longer part of it. Yes, Pam?
I think it says something.
Speak up a little bit.
I mean, if Judas wasn't fully all in, like he wasn't following Jesus with his heart, he was therefore at risk of Satan entering him. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to be thinking about that. Like, if we're not all in, like, it kind of puts us at risk of dealing with spiritual stuff. Like,
yep. Actually, this guy, F.F. Bruce, where'd it go? Oh, I lost it. Oh, here it is. He says this about this. He said, Satan could not, because people will say, well, Judas was forced to do this. He had no choice. But that's not the truth. F.F. Bruce, the great theologian, I don't know what the F.F. stands for, but he's well-known, supposedly. He says this, Satan could not have entered into him had he not granted him the admission. He had been willing to say no to the adversary. Had he been willing to say no to the adversary, all of his master's intercessory power was available to him there and then to strengthen him. But when a disciple's will turns traitor, when the spiritual aid of Christ is refused, that person's condition is desperate indeed. right? And that's where Judas is at this point. Yes, Jackie.
To me, you just described, when am I going to choose to get loaded?
Yeah.
You know, do I have the power to say, Jesus, help?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Do I choose to say, okay, I'm going to do that next line, or I'm going to go get a bottle?
I mean, just here, sitting here today, do I have the power to go up and teach these passages? No, I don't. And so then I get the power. Then I get God equips me to do it, right? Because believe me, I always question myself. Yes, sir.
Yeah, who's
Fred?
Verse number 28, shouldn't that read, now no one at the table knew except for John why he said this to him? Because John probably...
Well, he didn't know it at first. No, but yeah, you're right. I mean, that's it. Yeah, but I think the point is, you know what the point is that nobody knew. Everybody thought he was a Christian and an apostle and a follower of Christ, and he was all in. Everybody thought that, and nobody knew it, right? Which is why I'm saying that. That's why we check ourselves, because we can feel like one, because people are saying, yeah, you're a Christian, you're a believer. It matters where our heart is. Yes, Michael.
I just had a real quick thought. I don't know how important it is, but I thought it was interesting that all the other disciples called him Lord, and Judas called him Rabbi. It's like the difference between calling somebody master and teacher. You know?
No, that I never thought of that, but that's a good thing to ponder. Next time I teach this, I will go through that and find out. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. Okay, so what are you going to do? Go do quickly. And like I said, now no one at the table knew why he did this. Some thought that because Judas had money back, because Jesus said, what are you going to do? Go do quickly. Disciples think, oh, he's going to prepare for the Passover, or he's going to go give some money to the poor. Him and Jesus worked something out earlier, and he's just going to fulfill that thing, right? But, you know, Jesus was like saying, go do what you got to do. Because part of that, too, is that if you know someone's going to betray you, you need to go let them, if you're going to let them betray you, let them go right away, because you might change your mind, right? It's like, I mean, because I know me, or I bet most of us in here, we knew someone was going to betray us, we would stop the process right there. Even if we were told this was going to glorify God, we would still stop the process, right? And that's why Jesus loves so well, because he's not defending himself. Like I said, most people that know me know that I love to defend myself, and God's working on that. And, I have to humble myself later and go, I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I was being that. I'm sorry I was being bullheaded, because I am bullheaded. So, yes, me, Dyke. He says, so they think he's going to feed the poor or give money to the poor or go prepare for the feast. And then this is the one that's really, to me, is like, you ever see Phantom of the Opera? When it goes, and it's going in, and then the chandelier falls, goes, dun, 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 dun. That's what this reminds me. Sorry, I hope I didn't get your ears there. But this is kind of, for me, it says, so after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. Now, you know, because you go, why does it matter it was night? So it was night, it was dark out, but that really isn't the reason why he says this. So what do you think he means by that? Anybody have any conjecture?
He knew it was the end of his time on earth, so that he could say his son would be there.
Anyone else? Rick.
Jesus is the light of the world, so it's contrasting Jesus with Satan and Jesus and Judas doing an evil.
That's right. That's right. Rick.
Yeah, sunset is the beginning of the Sabbath, so it's the start of the Sabbath.
Okay. And Mike.
Yeah, when he said he went out in the darkness, that's what he was in, darkness.
And I think it has multiple. Applications here. I think he means many things by it. But the spiritual one is the most, Julie, and then I have to wrap it up.
It reminds me of the Good Friday services that I've been into that they're really creepy. It's like at the end, everybody blows the lights out and the church is dark. And it's like, I think this is kind of the beginning of the crucifixion.
Yeah.
It's just all going to go bad until Sunday morning.
Right, and I think it's you know, it has to do with Judas. It has to do with Jesus, what's coming. It has to do with the disciples, because they're going to be going to darkness for a minute, because their whole world's going to be shattered when Jesus gets crucified. In John 8, it says, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Right? And then John 11 says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. And that is describing Judas to the T. And then in John 12, earlier in the last chapter, it says, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. And that's Judas, because Judas had the light. He could have grabbed it, and he didn't. He says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Forgot your name.
My name is Jim.
Jim.
When he walked out, remember, in less than 6 hours, he's going to be leading 200 soldiers and temple guards. It was like a Shakespearean plot.
Yeah,
it was all set up. He knew what he was doing. At that precise moment when Satan entered into him, that's when he made the decision to go through it.
Well, I think that the decision, or he was already planning to do this. And then it's just, because we can always, I plan this, I'm going to plan this, and then get right up to the point and go, ah, I better not do it. Oh, that's too dangerous. But he pushed through that part, right? I need to pray. So, question is, are you all in? Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for what you taught me yesterday and throughout the week. Thank you for your word that just makes everything clear and true. And your word rings true in our hearts, Lord. So thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that we would examine our hearts in the areas that we haven't surrendered to you, that we would surrender them to you, admit them, and then surrender them to you, and not feel pressure to look Christian, but to actually be a follower of yours. In Jesus' name, amen.